Does the time go? Another week gone. Here's a new Paranormal Patriot for you. Thank you for joining me, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. I am your host. Thank you for joining me again this week. The Cosmic Dreamer will not be with us. He is still camping. You know, last week I rushed to put out the Listener Encounters show with Father's Day, getting the family ready to go camping. It was just a rush. Well, I went up camping. I was supposed to be up there Monday night. But things happened. I couldn't get there until Tuesday morning. If you look at the state of Michigan, if you look at the thumb, we camped at what they call Port Crescent State Campground. It is on the tip of the thumb. And let me tell you, I got there Tuesday, and they were already gone. I kind of surprised them. I told them I'd be there late Tuesday night. Well, I got there about 1 o'clock. And I surprised them, so they weren't there. So the camper was locked. I sat outside waiting for them to get back. And it was so cold, I had to grab a coat. The rest of the week wasn't any better. The high, the most it got up to was 70 degrees. That was one day, that was Wednesday. It was actually a pretty nice day. But Thursday, it was in the low to mid 60s, and the wind was howling off of Saginaw Bay. Friday, same thing. Saturday was nothing but rain. And then today, right now, I just got off the phone with them. It's pouring out there, and it's 53 degrees. I don't know why they're still camping. To me, that would not be fun, but they enjoy it. More power to them. But here in Owosso, which is, 100, 120 miles south, southwest, it's not much better. It's raining, and it's 64 degrees out. This is the end of June. It should be in the upper 70s minimum. Low 80s is where I would like it. But, give it a couple days, because by the end of the week, it's going to be in the 90s, and we're all going to be complaining about the heat. But I've had a lot of people email me, especially from Michigan, being that this is a Michigan-based podcast. A lot of my listeners hail from Michigan, but a lot of my listeners have said, hey, I think there might be something to this solar minimum that you and the Cosmic Dreamer keep talking about, because something's going on with the weather. Up in Houghton, Hancock, Michigan area, and again, if you look at the map, it's in the Upper Peninsula, it's to the west, and it's on what they call the Keweenaw Peninsula. They got so much rain, it literally washed out the town. We saw pictures of the devastation. It's horrific. The weather patterns, the earthquake activity, the volcanic activity on this planet at this exact time, something's going on. I don't know what it is. I've given you my theories as to what it is, but it's up for you to make up your own theories and come to your own conclusion, because I don't think anybody knows. So something, though, something is absolutely going on. The weather, depending on where you are, is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, last week's show, I mentioned it was a rush job. I gathered up a bunch of encounters that listeners have sent to me, listeners have experienced, and I didn't know what to expect because I kind of rushed through it. It was on location, and again, thank you to the Armory Apartment Complexes in Owosso, Michigan. Beautiful place. If you're ever in Owosso, stop by there. The armory was built in 1924, and they completely renovated it. It's a beautiful facility. But thank you to the armory. I didn't know how the show would be taken. Well, you guys took it and you ran, because it was right up there. It missed, I think, by about nine downloads total as the top show that we have produced. And it continues to do well. We had a phenomenal week last week. I didn't have very good cell phone reception up there, but every time I could, I'd check the stats. And you guys are listening, you're sharing, you're conversing about the show. So last week's show did very, very well, and it just emphasizes that my plan to get off the political high horse and do more paranormal, more conspiracy-related items that everybody can get behind, that everybody has a topic where it's not so divisive, was the right move. Now, last week, I normally post a poll question. Last week, I didn't post a question. What I did is I had a listener from Nevada by the name of Christine. She sent me a video of her retail store that has some eerie goings on. Her employees are getting touched. They're hearing voices. Well, her camera, her security camera, captured a shoe falling off of the shelf. So I posted it, and I wanted my listeners' opinions. Now, most of my responses came via email. And that's fine. I love, however you want to get a hold of me, that's fine. GhostSeeker4@charter.net, thecosmicdreamer@yahoo.com. Or you can contact me on Facebook. I had a couple people on Facebook say, I'm watching a video of somebody just off camera throwing a shoe onto the floor. A lot of people, and I don't mean any disrespect to Christine who sent the video in, but a lot of people looked at that, and I can see what they're talking about, because if it was on the shelf, you wouldn't have had that upward arch. There is a definitive upward arch from that shoe. If it was on the shelf and somebody knocked it off, it would just come out and down or come down. It wouldn't have had an upward arch. Now, I have no reason to believe why Christine would fake that. I'm not saying she did fake that. Obviously, according to her letter, her employees are a little skittish with everything going on there, but the listeners of the Paranormal Patriot have spoken, and they believe that it is just somebody off camera tossing a shoe onto the floor. Christine, if you're listening, let us know a little bit more about what's going on in your store so we can get a better description and a better handle of what's going on, what you guys are experiencing, and maybe we can get to the bottom of this. But regardless, Christine and everybody else can take a page from her book, send me your encounters, send me your videos, send me your photos, and we'll put them on. Let the listeners of this show decide and give you their two cents, because the listeners of this show, well, I think you're pretty smart. So let's get into this week's show. This week's show literally should be a concern for everyone, because everybody has a cell phone. The question is the cell phone technology, is it paving the way for our future health concerns? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to hear about that. So sit back, relax, open your mind, turn that cell phone off. Make sure you turn the cell phone off. We will be right back. You are listening to Tom Velasquez, and this is the Paranormal Patriot. Join me on September 21st and 22nd, 2018, for an out-of-this-world event. The Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the day listening and learning from all of the special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFOs, sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more to list here. All of this will be taking place at the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Overlooking the largest inland lake in Michigan, not only can you enjoy the UFO convention, but you can enjoy nature. This resort is full of windows, including a walkout balcony. This will be an educational and refreshing event. Lecturers include John Tenney, Andrea Perrin, Bill Konkoleski, Erica Luke, Steve Ward, and Nick Redford. For more information on the resort, go to www.lakesideresortmichigan.com. Again, September 21st and 22nd, 2018, join me and be at the Michigan UFO Contact. All righty, everybody, let's get into the main topic of the show, and that is cell phones. Now, we all have cell phones, right? Most of us, if not all of us listening today, have cell phones. Heck, most of our kids have cell phones. I tried for the longest time to keep cell phones out of my kids' hands. They're just diversions. There is so many bad things that can happen with a cell phone because it's a tiny computer. But after the Parkland, Florida shooting in my kid's school district, my oldest kid's school, predominantly, between February and April, they had five lockdown situations where there were supposed threats against the school. And during that time, the school district said, you can't contact your parents. You can't get a hold of your parents. So we know the school is on lockdown, but you call the school, they won't give you any information. So I said, bullcrap, my kids are getting cell phones for this very situation. I want to know what is going on. I want to be able to communicate with my kids during this time, and I want them to know what to do. I want to be able to talk to them and say, okay, you need to do this, you need to do this. Under the current format, because they didn't have cell phones, I couldn't get a hold of them. Now the school district says they don't want the kids to use the cell phones. Well, I say, BS. That's my kid. If you are putting my kids into lockdown, secure mode, and not giving me any information, my kids, first off, are scared to death. They don't know what's going on. So they need to be able to talk to somebody. The teachers, they don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I am a familiar voice that's going to comfort them and give them good advice. So I told my kids, here is your cell phone. Use it responsibly. But if you go into lockdown, if there is a situation, you better be sure that I or your mother will be calling you, and you better answer that phone. I don't understand the school system's policy as they don't want their kids getting a hold of anybody. They don't want any public input on this. I understand that rumors start, but again, these are our kids. I don't know if any other school districts have this policy that if you go into lockdown or secure mode, all cell phones turned off. I already told the school, my kids have a cell phone. If you go into lockdown or secure mode, it will remain on and they will be getting texts and phone calls from me. If you have an issue with it, we can sit down and discuss this. I've yet to hear from that school district, so I'm going to assume that they said, okay, that's fine. But regardless, everybody has a cell phone. But why? Is it because they're convenient and they're always with us? Or is it because, let's face it, they make our lives easier? No doubt they make our lives easier. You can make a call from anywhere. Ask yourself, growing up, most of my audience is at least my age, if not older, or in their 30s. Most of my audience would go to a payphone to make a phone call. Ask yourself, when is the last time you've seen a payphone? I mean, a working payphone. You might have payphones out there, but they don't work because the phone companies, They know it's a dying artifact, and they're not going to put money into paying for them to replace them or repair them. So payphones are a thing of the past, and it's because of cell phones. Well, they evolved from this big, huge, bulky bag that you carried around with you and had this big old antenna coming up. I remember the first time I saw one was in the early 90s. I thought the person with that was the coolest person on earth. Look at that guy's got a mobile phone. That guy can go anywhere and he can talk to anybody. Granted, the thing weighed 50 pounds. It was not even close to being mobile, but it was there. You weren't restricted to this phone cord. Well, now they have turned into essentially handheld computers with computing technology that beats 5-10 years ago. The technology is constantly moving, and it's moving at an astronomical rate. And therein lies the problem. Currently, most phones have 4G or fourth generation wireless technology. The fifth generation or 5G is on the verge of being released. Now, 5G promises download speeds up to 10 gigabytes per second. What that does is that essentially allows an entire building of employees to send info to one another instantaneously. You hit a button, boom, they've got it. So therefore, productivity is therefore increased by leaps and bounds. But at what cost? Now, before we get into that, let's get into how does 5G work? Well, what it does, 5G, and again, this is the fifth generation wireless signal that you're going to receive on your phone when you don't have Wi-Fi. It sends millimeter waves between 30 and 300 gigahertz, as well as some lower and new or mid-range frequencies as well. Now, these millimeter waves have a largely untapped bandwidth that allows for fast transmission of data. Millimeter waves, however, well, they do not travel well through buildings, and they tend to be absorbed by plants and rain, which interferes with their signal. And also, millimeter waves have a much shorter wavelength and then therefore cannot travel very far. Now, to counter this, 5G will use smaller cell stations for scrambling and unscrambling the packs of information it receives, providing a clear path with as little interference as possible back to our device. Now, what that means is that there could be potentially a wireless antenna on every lamppost, utility pole, home, and business throughout cities, towns, and even our neighborhoods. Think about it. Every lamppost, every utility pole, everywhere you look, there is going to be a little cell station attached to. Now, currently 4G, which is what we are on, most of us are on right now, 4G towers are around 90 feet tall and have a dozen or so ports that support all communications. You might have seen them out there. They're just towers. Some of them have been, I guess, disguised as pine trees. But those are the cell phone towers. 5G, the 5G towers that are coming out will have about 100 ports of communication on them and will be about 4 feet tall. So you, instead of a 90-foot tower, you are going to have a 4-foot antenna on top of a utility pole or a light pole or anything like that. Sounds great, right? But keep in mind, where these 90-foot towers were spread here and then way over here, and then you might have one over here, these 4-foot antenna for the 5G stations are going to be here. You're going to have one here. You're going to have one here. You're going to have one here. And you're going to have one here. All throughout your neighborhood. Essentially, if you look at it, we will be inundated with microwaves due to the increase in technology and the multitude of 5G antenna. So the question is asked, what are the potential dangers with 5G? Well, let me tell you, there are many. Thousands of studies link low-level wireless radio frequency radiation exposures to a long list of adverse biological effects, including DNA single and double-strand breaks, oxidative damage, disruption of cell metabolism, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, melatonin reduction, disruption to brain glucose metabolism, generation of stress proteins. Now, in case you didn't know, in 2011, the World Health Organization classified radio frequency radiation as a possible 2B carcinogen. Remember years ago when we had all these reports come out saying that cell phones caused brain cancer? And everybody said, oh gosh, that's a bunch of hogwash, that's not even possible. And we all believed it. Guess what? There is proof beyond proof, and it's becoming undisputable proof that this is actually happening. But let's get into other areas that affect our health. Now, the list is long. I'm going to kind of condense it down a little bit so I don't drag on and drone on for a little bit, but it affects our skin. Our body has between 2 and 4 million sweat ducts. And when these 5G signals interact with these sweat ducts, these sweat ducts act as an antenna when exposed to these wavelengths, meaning that they become more conductive. And what that means is it's going to give us more physical pain. I deal with fibromyalgia every day. Every single day I have some type of pain because of fibromyalgia. Is fibromyalgia due to the unnatural wavelengths that we are just absolutely inundated with every day? It affects our eyes. A 1994 study found that low-level millimeter microwave radiation produced by lens opacity in rats was linked to the production of cataracts. So these waves that are coming at us are essentially causing us to have cataracts. A 1992 Russian study found that the frequencies in the range of 53 to 78 gigahertz, which 5G proposes to use, impact the heart rate variability, which is an indicator of stress. Now, they did that. They found these in rats. Another Russian study on frogs whose skins were exposed to these millimeter waves found arrhythmias or heart rate changes. Another 2002 Russian experiment found that 42 gigahertz of microwave radiation exposure would affect the immune system. A 2016 Armenian study observed that these micro or millimeter waves at low intensity, mirroring the future environment brought about by 5G. In other words, this is the gigahertz that the 5G will be working in. Their study conducted on E. coli and other bacteria stated that the waves had depressed their growth as well as changing properties and activities of cells. This would happen to human cells. So is 5G going to change the properties in the activity of cell growth rates? It affects bacterial resistance, which I guess you could go in and say has the same effect as the immune system. Now, earlier I mentioned that these 5G waves are absorbed by rain and by plants. Now, when these are absorbed by plants, we know what it does to the human cell structure. It does the same thing to the plant cell structure. It literally renders these plants almost unconsumable. Think of it as GMOs. Now, what are GMOs? GMOs are genetically modified organisms. Now, I'm going to go a little bit off topic here, but I want you to realize what a GMO is, because it's kind of what we're doing to these plants. We are taking a genetically modified organism, something that shouldn't be there, but we placed it there. We're putting it into our body. What that is doing is that is changing our body structure, our cellular structure, even so far as our DNA. That is why I am so opposed to GMOs, because we don't know what it does in the long term. We just look at it and say, oh, well, we did a 30-day study and everything seemed fine. Boom, there's your GMO license. What is it doing to the cellular structure, to the DNA of a human being? It's got to be altering it because it's not supposed to be in our body. And that's the whole point of this. This is simple. When you really look at it and get really basic, our bodies were not to, we weren't designed to absorb these millimeter waves. When you look at our bodies, we are a natural entity, meaning everything we're made of is all natural. You can find it naturally in the environment around us. We don't have anything in us that you can't say, oh, that's, you can't find that anywhere else. You can go find iron. You can go find water. You can go find anything in our bodies, in the environment. That's what we are made of. These millimeter waves, they're not natural. So if you look at it, it's only, quote unquote, natural that it affects us and possibly alters us, because our bodies were not designed to take in, to absorb non-natural substances. This wave is non-natural, so it will affect us. Now, I can already see the emails coming. Many will ask me, Tom, if it's so dangerous, why would they allow this to happen? Why would the FDA say, yeah, go ahead, use 5G, if they know that it's dangerous? Well, according to Joel Moskowitz, most 5G studies are misleading. They've done studies looking at the health effects of 5G. But the problem is they're misleading because they do not pulse the waves. The waves that come out towards us using 5G are pulsed. Why that makes a difference, to be honest with you, I don't know. But they do not use pulse waves. So the questions need to be asked. If the phone companies know that pulsing the waves is how they're going to use this system, why wouldn't they do it in the testing? Why do they not pulse the waves? Why are they not doing the test as we would experience it? Is it because the cell phone companies know that these waves are dangerous to us? Is it about the potential $7 trillion influx of business that is expected to generate with this fifth generation of wireless signal? Is it the phone companies disregarding the health and well-being of their customers in lieu of a $7 trillion influx in business? Is that what we are at? Is that where we're at right now? Is that what it has come to? You have to answer that question. I'll be honest with you. We know what this stuff does to us. We do. We know what GMOs do to us, but yet we still eat it. We know what this 5G, this 4G, these cell phones do to our bodies, but we still use them. How do we get over this? I don't know. Somebody give me the answer. And it can't be stop using cell phones, because cell phones are now integrated in our life. Most of us, and I just hang my head because I'm kind of this way too. Most of us, the first thing we do every day is get up, roll over, and grab our cell phone. That's the first thing we do every day. And there are going to be people out there that say, well, instead of doing that, roll over and kiss your wife or kiss your husband. And that's what we need to do. But the problem is these are so integrated into our lives. They are now an extension of us that we would be lost without them. So what do we do? Do we just resign the fact that this stuff is going to slowly kill us? Is slowly going to change who we are? Because really, we can't fight back. Because again, without cell phones, the world stops. Cell phones are literally an extension of us. It's a lifeline of us. You can contact us. You can get a hold of us anytime, any day. I have the world's news right in the palm of my hand. That's where we are. How do we get over this? Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, thecosmicdreamer@yahoo.com, theparapatriot, and The Cosmic Dream on Twitter, Facebook, and Minds at The Paranormal Patriot. Wherever you contact me, I don't care. Just let me know what you think. And that will be the poll question for this week. Do you think 5G has health ramifications for the general public? Let me know what you think. Contact me. GoSeeker4@charter.net, thecosmicdreamer@yahoo.com. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to go into a very entertaining, I guess, maybe, news you need to know segment. So sit back, open your mind. We're going to get back to the news you need to know. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and this is your host, still wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Molasses. We'll be right back. Save the date of Saturday, July 28th, so that you can be in Goshen, Indiana, and attend the Michiana Paranormal Fair. Saturday, July 28th, 2018, from 11 to 4 p.m. at Ox Bow Park in Goshen, Indiana, the Michiana Paranormal Fair will feature vendors and speakers and also include authors, psychic mediums, spiritualists, paranormal teams, cryptid investigators, and much, much more. They will also be hosting a spirit circle from 3 to 4:30 p.m. In the evening, they will be offering a paranormal investigation of Ox Bow Park from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Now, Ox Bow Park was at one time the location of the county home or poorhouse, also known as the asylum. The home is no longer there, but the foundation and cemeteries are, and from what we've been told, it can be quite active at times. We have also been told there may be a few cryptids lurking around the area, too. Michiana Paranormal Fair will have special access during these hours. The location does not permit anyone on their property after closing, so you know any evidence you find may be paranormal. Tickets for the investigation are only $10 and must be purchased by July 21st via PayPal. Admission to the Paranormal Fair is free of charge. There is a $2 fee for parking at the park. Half of the proceeds of the Michiana Paranormal Fair go towards Ox Bow Park for maintenance and upkeep. So if you are looking to learn and grow your paranormal knowledge and maybe, just maybe, find something paranormal, July 28, 2018, Ox Bow Park in Goshen, Indiana. The Michiana Paranormal Fair is where you need to be. And tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Now listening to the news you need to know with the Paranormal Patriot. Alrighty, earlier in the show, I talked to you about things not right. The weather's not right. The volcanic, the earthquake activity is not right. Well, I've got a story here. It's from the Washington Post. I know what you're saying to my conservative listeners. How are you even looking at this? I get my sources. I get them from everywhere. But it appears that the Steamboat Geyser at Yellowstone National Park, it has erupted three times in the past 6 weeks, including one event that really hasn't occurred since 2003. Now, this spike in activity has puzzled scientists who closely monitor Yellowstone. The scientists say that the reasons for the spate of eruptions is unclear. Now, officials with Yellowstone Volcano Observatory caution that the geyser activity is not a sign of impending doom. There is nothing to indicate that any sort of volcanic eruption is imminent, but they also say we need to continue to keep an eye on that. Geysers are difficult to study. Most have unpredictable eruptions that may happen in intervals lasting a few years to a few days. It makes it challenging to study these things. But listen, 2003, this happened before and nothing happened after. I'm not saying, and I don't want all these fear mongers coming out and saying, oh, you're just announcing our impending doom even though nothing's going on. I get that. I'm telling you there's some unusual activity. Yes, it happened in 2003, but when you look at it with the earthquakes and the volcanic activity that's happening all around the world, and especially along the Ring of Fire, a couple red flags go up on my end. As we know, Yellowstone is the site of a huge super volcano. If that super volcano blows, it could be an extinction level event. Now again, I'm not saying because this geyser is going off in a very odd way, I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm just saying you might want to keep an eye out for it because there's a lot of other activity precluding this geyser going off. Many scientists are saying that we are well overdue for the Yellowstone supervolcano to erupt. Not that I want it to happen. I don't want to become extinct. But I feel it's my public service duty to tell you that the option and possibility may be there. Now, I talked about it last week and just skimmed over the top of it. I want to go into a little bit more detail about it. It's Donald Trump's Space Force. But before I get into that, I want you to listen to the new Space Force theme song and tell me that it's not going to be stuck into your head, because all during the show today, I listened to it last night, I listened to it this morning, all during the show, in the back of my head, I keep hearing, Space Force! Let me let you listen to this and tell me that this will not be stuck in your head. It is going viral. It's just wreaking havoc over the internet because it is amazing. I wish I had this amount of talent. Here is Donald Trump's Space Force theme song. And I apologize in advance if you cannot get this out of your head.
The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Space Force. My new national strategy could be Space Force. We're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Tremendous. Tremendous. Space Force.
I am telling you, I cannot get that song out of my head. Again, I wish I had half the talent of whoever made that, because that is incredible. But I want to talk to you real quick about the Space Force again, because it keeps coming up in my thoughts. And again, I just kind of skimmed over it last week because I was in such a rush. But I have to ask, and this is the question I asked at the last segment, at the last talk of the Space Force, is there something going on that we don't know about? Is this the Space Force, Donald Trump's disclosure? Is it our government's way of conditioning us? Because a lot of people still, and trust me, I deal with them all day, still cannot fathom the fact that we are not the only intelligent life in the universe. They can't understand how we couldn't be the only intelligent life in the universe. So is this our government conditioning us to the fact that there may be more intelligent life? You look at the documents and the disclosures that the government, the Washington Post, New York Times, leaked to the public in December of 2017 about the fact that that they were looking. Our government was spending $22 million of our money into UFOs. This is well after the fact that the government has said UFOs don't exist. Well, if UFOs don't exist, then why are you spending $22 million of our money researching them? Look at the Mars discussion that we've just had, the Mars press conference, where they found microorganisms. Now, NASA, who I don't believe at all, NASA has lost all integrity with me. I'm sorry, Cosmic Dreamer, but it's true. But they are stopping short of saying, well, this isn't definitive life, but it could be. Look, if you have microorganisms, what is an organism? It's life. It is a living object, a being. I don't care how micro it is. You have life on Mars that we know of right now. There are microorganisms on Mars that we have been told about. But yet people are already going out there, that's not proof that there's life on Mars. What is it? You have a living or maybe past living object that you're detecting. So either there is life on Mars or there was life on Mars. But regardless, life existed on Mars. And then you have SETI, who is clamoring for funding from Congress, saying, we need this funding. We've received a message. We need more money to find out what this message is. And Congress now has the duty to decide, do we give them this money? Because if they give them this money, this takes away from the climate change funding that the Democrats need. So do we give the money to climate change, or do we give the money to SETI? Is this a little bit of conditioning? Is this disclosure? Now, some people don't like disclosure terms. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. All I know is that something is afoot in ufology. We are being prepped, conditioned, call it what you want. We are being prepped that something's out there. And I believe this Space Force, is a direct response to that. Now, do we have an incoming alien invasion? I don't know. You would think we would know that ahead of time, and you would think we'd already be dead if that were the case. I understand that wars are going to be fought in space sooner than later. We are a warlike society. We love war. It's only natural, it's a natural progression that it goes into space. So is Donald Trump taking this Space Force and making it so we are dominant in space before the Russians and the Chinese? Very possibly. But you've got the ufology community really looking into the fact that what is out there? What does he know that he is really not telling us, but he is telling us? You know, this is a perfect opportunity for the Cosmic Dreamer to become part of Space Force. So, Cosmic Dreamer, here's your chance. Alrighty, everybody, that will be the end of the show this week. Thank you for listening. I truly, truly had a blast recording it for you. I hope you learned something. You know, is 5G going to be detrimental to our health? What is going on with Space Force? And does the Steamboat Geyser in Yellowstone, is it a prelude to something more dangerous? That's what you need to ask yourself. So thank you for listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassus, taking off the tinfoil hat. I thank you very much for listening. Please share the show. Contact me with any encounters, any photos, videos, whatever you want at ghostseeker4@charter.net, thecosmicdreamer@yahoo.com, theparapatriot and thecosmicdream1 on Yahoo, and theparanormalpatriot on Facebook and minds.com. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. We will be back next week. Peace!